Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
We are officially over halfway of this painful, painful game that we choose to play. And there is a lot to talk about with the easy bye in the rearview mirror. Let's go!
Hodge has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I am joined once again by coach of the Mighty Ox Shorts, Luke Rogerson. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad this week. I think I'm in a I won't call it a happy place with my team, but I'm at peace. I know what I am. I'm back to playing my role. There was a brief period there at the start of the season where I thought maybe I could be more than what I am, but I just am me now.
You're a solid role player.
I'm a role player. I'm here to, you know, actually, I don't know what I'm here for, and I'll show myself out.
Nah, mate, you bring good vibes, good character around the club. Good.
Thank you. Boost morale.
Boost morale. Yeah.
I mean, you must have had a good weekend this weekend, mate. Max Holmes, Josh Dacos in the last game. It must be looking good for Mitchman.
You'd think so. I thought I was in for a better round. I swear they didn't count my captain score or something, but I slid back a little bit. Not much, but a little bit. It was my first slide in a bye round for a couple of years, which is a little disappointing. But so I went to 43.07 with a score of 18.30, which is what? That's a slide of about 100 or just over 200 spots. So, yeah, not ideal, but no panic stations just yet.
I think the last bye round will be your bye round. You don't have any Essendon players. No, you don't have any Brisbane players. So I think you could be on in that last round, perhaps.
Yeah, and I don't have a Max Gawn in round 15 as well, which I think will be very popular. So I think if I can get through this one, the last two, yeah, I'm hoping will see me launch back up into the top 3,000. So
it's dire straits here at Ball Boys HQ. But
what about you, mate?
We proceed. I scored very similarly, actually, 18-15. And I've stopped looking at the rank, but I think maybe I've slid a little bit. I don't even fucking know how.
You're
to
You're still
tell
worse
anyone.
Than me is the bottom line that people want to. That's what the people want to know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I fell again by 500 ranks. So. That is correct. I am worse than you, unfortunately.
It seemed like par of the round, but yeah, it was a round of lots of highs and lows. And well, speaking of highs and lows, we'll get into our first award segment of the day. Before we do bogs and flogs, Luke, I see you lining that up.
No. Sorry, let's talk camels. My hump. Pop it. Get your humps out.
I have a bone to pick with this man here because I thought he was going to be a much better player than he has been the last few rounds, and I'm sensing and noticing a troubling trend of camel-like behavior from Isaac Rankin.
Yeah, this is fair, and this isn't just this week. This
no,
is disgusting.
This isn't a once-off. I felt like he bought some time in my good graces at the start of the year, but it's worn off, mate, because the last five rounds, he hasn't turned up, hasn't gone over 90, back-to-back 60s. He's playing more forward, and I don't know if I can fully pin this on the coach because he, I think he likes it down there. He likes it down there just not having to run around as much. And Yeah,
you told me he was fit and firing, mate. You assured me in the preseason.
He was at the start of the year. He was doing so well, but now he's averaging below 90.
I started with Horn Francis, and then I traded into Rankin.
Yeah.
It's the last 8 games. He's turned up once.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. So
he's no longer a top 6 forward. Not even close.
No, and he does show me camel like behaviors where he doesn't get thirsty for the cheap stuff. He's only interested in the highlight plays, like the big, you know, crowd winning goals and things like that. And as fantasy coaches, we love the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
The cheap stuff's what gets you there. So like 21 touches, you'd think he'd be doing better, but 2 marks, a couple of frees against, didn't even kick goal in this one. So yeah, very disappointing for Isaac Rankin, and you are officially on notice, my friend. As
he's lucky it's the bye rounds. If it was luxury season, ta-ta, Isaac. Let's have a bit of a chat about somebody who was absorbent in yellow and porous.
Mm-hmm. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Absorbent in yellow and porous is he?
Max by name and by nature this week.
Yeah,
you're sitting
not the gone variety.
You're a little coy. What's happened here?
Well, he went big. He went big. And this was epitomized by the final, I want to say the final 2 minutes of the game. He was sitting there. He had 39 touches, Luke.
Oh.
He went to the bench. And then the last couple minutes,
they said,
get his 40th touch.
Wind it back.
He said, get me back on, coach. I need extra points. And he came back on. He got his 40th touch.
The game was in hand by
the game
by this
was
point,
absolutely
wasn't it?
In yeah. hand. It was over. There was no need to get him back on. But he got back on anyway and got those extra points. And that's what we love to see, Luke. That's what we want. And he was in the big boys this week. He has been growing back in confidence. And this is the Max Holmes that I thought I was picking at the start of the year. He's nearly averaging 100 so far this season. And this is what happens when he avoids the tag and gets to run free. No Bailey Smith there to take his spotlight. So he was absolutely incredible. That is his career high score with his 40 touches. I'm not sure if it's career high touches, but definitely his career high fantasy point scoring total.
I'll give you a shout out too, because I wrote about this in my round review, was the fact that a couple of weeks ago we were sitting here talking Holmes v. Merritt, and you said that you anticipated Max Holmes to out-average Zach Merritt over the next 4 games. And it's looking like nothing Zach Merritt could do
could possibly change that. It's over.
Put a fork in him. He's done. Merritt, we'll talk Merritt a little bit later.
Yeah, he'll appear in the Bogs and Flogs, and I'm pretty sure you can guess which one he is this week.
Okay, let's speaking of Bogs and Flogs, let's get it.
And the winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate.
You're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment. Bitch.
There's some embarrassments in this week's, but there's also some big time performances. Let's cast our minds back all the way to the Bulldogs versus Hawthorn. A couple of players putting their hands up for this one, but I am going to give it to Matthew Kennedy as someone who would have rewarded a lot of coaches who traded into him coming off his bye round with a big 130. And he doesn't care that Adam Treloar's back in the side.
Apparently
he said,
not.
Adam who? I'm Matt Kennedy, bitch, and I am out here to score fantasy points with a big 132. So
who would have thought when the question was Horny or Rankin at the start of the season, who would have thought the answer would be Kennedy?
Matt Kennedy, yeah.
Very impressive.
I know you were big on the Kennedy pick, and we all ended up going with Riley Sanders because he did have the mid-clock in the preseason games, but it's just sort of just show. Why the fuck do we bother watching those preseason games? Because
they kill us.
He was always the guy. All right, who is the flog?
Yeah, speaking of killing us, hopefully not too many people own Tom Liberatore, but
he was an option.
Yeah, the trouble here was that he seemed to be the guy that was impacted by the Treloar in.
Yeah.
I don't know how this plays out long term because obviously Treloar didn't exactly play
the full game that he was hoping to.
But Libba can't play anywhere else. Hopefully that's a failed experiment for Libba.
He has played stints in the forward line before.
I didn't say he hasn't. I said he can't.
Yeah. Fair point.
And I think that showed there. What's the next game?
Well, they didn't win, so maybe that's something that goes in his favour. The next game here is Adelaide versus Brisbane, and I'm going to give it to Will Ashcroft, who, you know, he had some patches at the start of the season, but he has been overall a pretty good pick for those who went there. A couple of low scores are, you know, highlighted by that 41 against Collingwood in round 6. But Back-to-back tons in the bye rounds against Adelaide. He top scored in this one. So he, to me, gets the best on ground for an unlikely source of a 110-plus score.
We'll just give Isaac Rankin another little drive-by on the way out of this game. Yeah, he can cop the flog.
This,
but
the camels from this week, the bog is this week and last week. So
right.
Yeah, he deserves a few negative awards going his way.
We'll give him one on the way by because I very much want to get onto the next game because my boy Bicey, let's go. Always believed in you, Riley.
Yeah, right. You are the biggest kiss man on the planet.
Mate, I'll get my tip out. I'll show you. Not kissed in the slightest, but my spicy takes haven't been that bad this year. And I said in my spicy take, rewind the tape if you need to, that Riley Bice will score 93 this week, and he did on the dot.
I think you said turned up. We're seeing a little short there.
I don't believe that was the case. But hey, you'd give that to me anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I would. I think that's a very nice score. And
what
luckily,
an unbelievable force told.
You're so lucky. You're absolutely so lucky because he didn't lose basically much cash at all.
Perfect. Great. I can't wait for lockout to lift.
Score that comes in, and he's basically a premium for you this week. So yeah, it's a brilliant hold.
It's all right, mate. It does.
I can't believe. First of all, I can't believe he wasn't dropped. Like, there's no way.
Matt Roberts. So I mean,
the stars aligned for you, mate.
The stars did align, but the stars didn't align so much that even the great Corey Warner could get a score. Because I think, did you have Corey Warner on field as well?
I did. Once Bailey Smith was a laid out,
yeah,
so he's 28 was on my field, and this guy, I just needed him to not lose a bunch of cash before his buy this round, so I could trade him. He kicked a fucking goal, Luke, and he scored 28. This guy, I don't know honestly how he keeps getting games. It's obviously because his brother plays for the side, but they've got him under contract now, mate. Corey. Pick up the slack, my boy. Be better. Anyway, I think that will do it for our relationship, for Corey and I. Yeah, it's time to trade him out. But yeah, could have just kept your cash a little bit higher before we parted ways.
Max Holmes is going to cop the bog in the Geelong Gold Coast game for obvious reasons. But the flog here, you've got Mark O'Connor and Tom Stewart. I'm expecting Tom Stewart's there because he folded Noah Anderson like a deck chair.
Absolutely laid him on the ground. That was a massive hit.
That was like, big and fair.
When you saw it in slow-mo and you saw like the reverberations like going throughout his body, like, fuck, he's going to be sore. So, yes, he gets the flog for that and also for showing that he still can go 110-plus and, yeah, giving us paralysis whether or not we still want to trade him in. And Mark O'Connor for tagging Noah Anderson.
Oh, he copped a double dick.
So Noah Anderson's had a rough day. He's been tagged for 3.5 quarters, yeah, and in the last 10
couple
minutes,
of broken ribs.
10 minutes to go in the game. When it was all, like, this is what I was thinking. I was like, the game's sewn up. Like, they're going to release the tag. Okay, Noah Anderson, you can get a quick 20 points here and gets 80, and then bang, not to be. But apparently he's fine, no concussion, and
okay. He's
on his bye anyway. So anyway, it just wasn't. It was a good afternoon for my boy, Max. My boy, Noah Anderson.
You were up and down in that game for sure.
Yeah. So the two boys averaged 100 between each other.
It's a win. GWS taking on Port Adelaide. And this man, it doesn't matter what role Connor Rozee plays because he can play halfback, he can play midfield. I think he's actually kicking, or he's having more shots at goal as a halfback than I think he was in the midfield, which is crazy. I think 120 plus in this game, so he can have the ball.
He's just the most reliable Port Adelaide player right now. Well, one goal, three, like you said, that's great stuff. And still getting tackles, like six tackles in this one. Just, yeah, he looks right at home in that position there at the moment.
Not even your elite coaching could get the flog up and about in this game.
I need it. So this is the story of my week this week. With a few outs, I needed some of these rooks to step up. I didn't get fucking kissed like you did with the Riley Bice. Instead, I got Corey Warner and I got Christian Moraes, who I thought with a few players out from Port Adelaide, he was doing all right. He was back-to-back 60s. I thought, okay, maybe he can actually make some cash for me before I trade him out this week. No, he finds a way to go under his break even of 29 as he started as a sub. I just expected a better showing on the training track throughout the week over the bye period. He obviously pissed someone off. So, yeah, he gets the bog for a poor bye round week off because he obviously pissed someone off. Anyway.
Is he in the gun for you this week as
he's
well?
He's in the gun. He's gone. He's absolutely gone.
North Melbourne taking on West Coast. And, I mean, there's a bit of a backstory to this one. I didn't actually get a VC this week. I have the two worst assistant coaches in the world. See, this is the thing. A little bit of advice for everyone out there. Have a close friend or even, God forbid, a father look out for you and just make sure that if they see any late news, they let you know.
They text you.
They don't text you and wait for a response and, oh, the game started. I couldn't get a hold of him. Call me.
Be on your phone 24/7, mate. What are you doing? This is AFL fantasy. It's a rolling lockout.
I was in the car. I didn't want to cop a huge fine.
You can't pull that shit over, bro.
You should
have that on like voice to or text to voice or something. Siri should be telling you.
I got that hands free, man. So you let me know. You give me a buzz and call me, and I'll say, look, sort it out, Mitch. But you know, it's not
text
the case
from Mitch Casey.
So
Bailey Smith is a late out.
Shit!
That's what it should be, mate.
Yeah. Okay.
That's your own fault.
Okay. The long and short of it is they actually play for Collingwood and Richmond, respectively. But the long and short of it is I had to go straight into Tristan Sherry, and he was underwhelming.
I mean, 111 is it's not bad. It's lower than his price out figure, and we thought this was going to be a massive game. The irony as well is once we had that Bailey Smith laid out, I was thinking, okay, well, I should go Max Holmes VC into Sherry.
Lies.
I didn't want to miss out on a Tristan Sherry if Max Holmes went in 115. I was like,
You didn't think that. Look down the barrel of the camera and tell me you thought that.
I did. I 100% did think that. Big boys, it was on there. But I didn't want to miss out on the Tristan Sherry massive game. So I bypassed that. And ironically, Max Holmes went the 140 and Tristan Sherry went the 111. But anyway, he's not featured in this award. Yeah. You just went on a tangent. But I'm giving the best on ground here to Harry fucking Sheezel.
Just his last quarter, bro. Did you see where he was at halfway through the fourth?
Massive second half, I think it was. 36 points, 53. Yeah. So
he wasn't looking real good with 10 minutes to go.
He was on 30 points at halftime. I don't care what people say. This guy's a fucking great player, and I think he will get it done no matter where he plays. There's been a lot of talk about him being forward and being a trade-out. I said before, I think they're having deja vu. This is exactly what we were talking about 12 months ago. I would be shocked if down the stretch of the season he is playing less than 45% CBAs. Like, there is no reason for him to not be in the midfield as their best player. You know, if he's having a quiet quarter, he's in the midfield. So I think they'll do whatever it takes to get him going, and I feel confident, especially us, what we saw in the second half. I know it was against the Eagles, but I just think we've seen this before. He's a gun, plain and simple.
I tell you who's not a gun, and that's Finn O'Sullivan. And the issue here is Finn O'Sullivan's winning the breakup.
You had him, right?
He is winning the breakup.
You would have kept him, right? He was a green dot for you. You need green dots.
I put him in the gun as quick as I could. And when I say as quick as I could, after like 12 rounds. And unfortunately, this is that one where you run into your ex on the street and they look happy.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, it's good to see you doing well. But it's not good to see him doing well. I want Finn to suck
she's
ass.
She's killing it. Like, she's got a new job, new boyfriend. He's 6'8", you know, like... It's LeBron James.
Finn O'Sullivan's dating Shaquille O'Neal, and I'm the little white boy that she left him for.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you're all alone at home on a Saturday night.
Yeah,
watching fantasy footy.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's Finn O'Sullivan for you. He comes out, pumps his biggest score of the season by a large margin as well, and would have absolutely counted for a lot of teams out there in best 18.
Grow up.
So yeah, he would have got you over the line this weekend and probably had you moving up, not down.
Carlton and Essendon, the Sunday night game with no public holiday for us up here in Queensland.
Yeah,
but
what's up with that? Think of us Queenslanders.
The Tom DeConing, you put him in the big boys when nobody owns him, but let's give him his props.
Hey, all I just want to say is never doubt the big boys, because you said, I'll lose my lead with Tom DeConing, and the irony was... I lost my lead because I didn't have Tom DeConing in my big boys.
You took him out of the last
minute. Never doubt the big boys. Not even me. I did see some news that he was going to play more forward, so that I pushed him down to 7. And that was out of my top 5. So my captain's challenge, I'm down to 3rd. which is...
Third in the world doesn't sound as good as one, does it?
No, and it's the only thing I can hang my hat on this season, Luke. So if I don't have that, I've got nothing.
It's the only hat you've got to hang.
Yeah.
The flog is Zach Merritt, more so Zach Merritt's role,
to be fair, this should be the coach's fault. And I have seen some Twitter chat about this, but coaches in general are getting way too fucking cute. Zach Merritt is a multi-time All-Australian midfielder.
Play him in the midfield.
Fucking midfield. What are we doing with these players that are proven guns?
Yeah.
Messing around with their roles so you can get... I'm going to look at some horrible names here, I'm sure. So you can get Will Setterfield in the midfield for 21 CBAs, the most of the team. What are we doing here? Sam Durham, look, he's okay. Darcy Parrish. He waltzes into the team and has more CBAs than Zach
Merritt. Who had the most?
Will Setterfield.
It should be Will off the field.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, Will Setterfield, he's been decent, but...
But he's not he's Zach not Merritt.
Exactly, and yeah,
give me a spell.
It goes to show they lost the game against Carlton.
Give me a spell.
Yeah, so anyway, just coaches getting too cute. What are we doing? Put Zach Merritt in the midfield.
This has been the longest Bogs and Flogs in the world, so let's wrap it up with today's
what anger. There's an game. extra game.
There is. Melbourne and Collingwood had probably the game of the round.
Great game.
On the King's Birthday Monday. And your spicy take.
My spicy take. Just like your Riley Bice take, my Josh Dacos take. I said he was going to go... He was going to win the award. I said he was going to...
An award?
An award, yes.
The child mentioned
about an award.
bit of Grinch gear for you.
Yeah. And I forgot, lost my child. He'd beat his brother, which we surely did with his brother getting tagged. And I said he was going to go 128 on the dot. And he did exactly just that. So call me Nostradamus, Luke.
You're amazing. The flog in this one was Ed Langdon. Why was the flog Ed Langdon?
Well, because he went to tag Nick Dacos and he sacrificed his entire game for it. Like, this was his sole mission tonight. He had... Do you want to know how many touches he had tonight?
He had 3 touches.
4.
Damn it.
4 touches, 0 marks. He was the lowest scoring player on the ground, including the subs.
Yeah.
This man did nothing but just... pester Nick Dacos all night. Nick Dacos still, like, he's a gun and, you know, got to 83 points with the help of a little 50-meter penalty to kick a goal there. But it's just, it could have been much bigger. It could have been much bigger if, even if it was just a softer tag than that. So, yeah, that's just shit moving. Melbourne lost and I don't think they've ever won a game with a tag someone. I think that's a stat that I just made up right now, but I believe it's true.
Before we get chopping, we normally do a little bit of strategy chat, but we have quite wisely identified that a lot of the strategy during the bye rounds...
it's a bit boring this week.
It's pretty consistent, the themes. But I do want to use this time to quickly just chat about... I'm going to call them mid-prices, but I'm talking about anyone from like 350K all the way up to like 750, you know, just before 800. Because these were guys that we were talking about all of last week, and there were some guys that popped, and there were some guys that did not pop. And I just want to talk about a few names with you and get your take on how they went on the weekend, where that leaves us, and whether they might even be trade-in targets coming up. Let's talk about Riley Harder-Watch, because
it
was just
one.
That.
Yeah, I fucked this one. He was my number one trade-in for a downgrade, and he sucked.
He
straight sucked. What did happen, which maybe I should have foreseen this, but our mate from last year, who am I? Colby McKercher. He moved back into a halfback role when he wasn't there previously, and that forced Hardiman to actually need to play defense, and we hate our defenders playing defense. So that was a big letdown, and his break even is going to shoot back up. It is now, it's back up to 41. So if he does that performance again, he actually goes backwards in cash. He went up. What did he go up? Not much. 28K. So that's 50. A bit of a flop. I still think those types of plays are worth chasing. If you hit one, like for example, Lord,
yes,
who was. Another option, it was a bit more expensive, but he pops out an 81, which would have counted as your best 18 scorer. He's gone up 48K, and his break-even is still at 29. So I think you do have to go for these guys. It really is like a hit-or-miss kind of pick, though. The thing you can fall back on is he didn't count to my side, so he wasn't. You know, if I had one fewer players playing, he would have, which would have been shit. But his score didn't count. He still did go up 28K. Hopefully, he can score better, and he's going to still go up. But so it's not end of the world, but I think it is still worth going for these guys because it can be a big boom for your side.
Yeah, especially if like, you know, our teams and a lot of teams where we're looking potentially like we're struggling to generate enough cash to finish the buy rounds with full teams. And then keep in mind, we've said this a couple of times, but just because the buy rounds finish and you might have your best 22, that doesn't mean we're finished upgrading. Even though you might underestimate it, but even those little upgrades, let's call it like a underperforming premium, like a Caleb Sarong or something.
Isaac Rankin, like getting him up to
These are not inexpensive upgrades. Getting Isaac Rankin to Nick Martin, to like a Kennedy or something like that. You're talking about like almost 200K now. I would, if not more.
Yeah, maybe more. Yeah.
So we still need to generate cash, and there's creative ways to do this. Let's talk also about another guy that we only very briefly spoke about during the week, but who looked at right at home back in his halfback role, and that was Sam Doherty.
Yeah, he was a guy that definitely, if you launched on, massive, massive step up.
Yeah.
He is still cheap enough that we can look at. I definitely think so.
In that role, his value 100%. It's just these are the tough ones, and these
this
are
is
the
one
ones.
Of those sort of things with the coaches though. Like you lost Newman at the start of the year. Yeah. Sam Doherty has been an All Australian halfback before.
Yeah.
So what do? We put him on a wing, or we put him into the VFL. He starts as our sub in round one. I know there's like other reasons, like maybe he hasn't been the best performer for Carlton in general, but he's not been playing the role he's best at. Like we're really trying to outsmart ourselves, I think, here. And back-to-back 112s, you know, the GWS game, they didn't win, but they did win the Essendon game. And, you know, they probably weren't expected to beat the Giants. So I think there's an element of confidence I have now to this sort of thing. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, all the evidence you cited, it's unfortunately for me still reason to not be confident. You ask yourself the question, okay, well, he hasn't been part of their best 22. Why? Like you said, they literally had a player that plays his position go down at the start of the season. So I think there's every chance that I still... and lockout's just lifted, by the way, so we haven't had a chance to have a really good look at our teams, but... There's a chance that I consider Doherty this week, and I think I kind of need to as well because I need to do something that's different to those top teams. Because
Price at 65, going up against West Coast this week as well, so it's a nice matchup. You know, I'm not saying you have to go there, but he definitely could be an option if it's another little mini sideways downgrade. You can get an upgrade with a one up, one down. I think that would be a very nice play to go for. Maybe it's a I don't know. Maybe if you, with a bit of DPP, you could go a Rankin down to him.
Yep.
You know, like two players going opposite directions in terms of price and scores. You know, there's a lot of DPP that might need to happen to make that possible. But sort of things like that, I think are definitely plays you could have. And then the same sort of thing with some of the rookies. So, you know, Zach Johnson and Madden. Like, Madden was great. Obviously, we knew he had the nice matchup, but the 80, I think, is now just going to guarantee he's going to go up a couple, basically 100-plus K of the next two rounds.
Break even of negative 12.
I think even though you've missed a round, you could definitely jump on him, Johnson as well. The issue I'm having with my team, and I'm not sure if other people are going to have the same issue out there, is I just don't have much DPP at the moment, and these players that I'm looking for, especially if I'm trying to get rid of some of these shitty Sydney rooks in Warner and Cleary, who have just absolutely gone nowhere with their cash, I need forwards, and there's no good forwards in terms of downgrades coming through. They're midfielders. We've got a random ruck, and I just don't have the DPP at the moment because I've traded out players like Ashcroft. All these other guys in my midfielders are just mid-onlys. I have one mid-defender in there, but that's Angus Hasey. He's not doing much for me. So it is something that DPP flexibility will go to help a lot of sides, but if you don't have it, it can mean you're going to miss out on some of these good picks in these next rounds, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, definitely agree. With, I mean, a guy we didn't mention there is Ed Allen, who obviously played today and was the finishing sub too. So he was one that we were not endorsing because of the bye. And,
well, yeah, and because the Monday game, and we didn't know, you know, where he was sitting in the side come Monday and all that. So
yeah, so so some tough ones there, and obviously there'll be some happy people, especially if you went Lord or the Doctor.
Doherty
as well.
Or Madden, yeah, all of those guys came good this week. Let's talk about some chopping block players that we can get them out of our side. I'm excited to trade out some of these Sydney Rooks. Everybody was kung fu
fighting. Expertly done. Oh, kick him. Kick him. Careful you don't
fast as lightning.
Kick some of the tech in here.
Like I just mentioned, the Sydney Rooks, I think all of them to go. Is there a part of you, Luke, after seeing a big 93 from Riley Bice that wants to hold on to him for another round?
There is not a part of me. I won't play with fire twice.
Okay. I think it's a pretty easy call for Corey Warner. Nathan Cleary, I keep thinking of the bloody footy player, the rugby player.
The chin himself.
Caden Cleary and Riley Bice. The easiest trades, I think, to make are all those three gone out of your side.
All three of them are going from my side.
All three of them can go.
Unbelievable.
Does that mean that you're holding on to a Roberts? Or did you end up trading him last week?
No, I will be holding him.
Okay.
There he is, my friend.
Oh yeah, Matty Roberts. Okay, so if you didn't trade or couldn't get to trading him last week, do you think he's a lower priority than some of these other guys?
Again, lockout's just lifted, so I'm going to have to go and work out how much money I'm going to need to do things that I want to do. So I think what we've been preaching up until this point is if you've got these, like let's call it a Roberts versus a Bice, and you know you need to get to the upgrade that you need to get to, we're probably happy to go there. But just forecast that you don't want to be holding Riley Bice next week either. So it's whether you do it this week or next week.
I do think that because these rookies in particular have been so disappointing with their scoring, their cash gen is going the wrong way, all of them, and their job security is probably not that great either. Yeah. There's just too many crosses next to all of their names. So those three would be my highest priority to be traded out this week. The next few players I've got here. So Luke Traynor, he's on his bye as well. He actually had a decent score again, but his role's a bit all over the place and his break even is 59. So he might not be going down in cash anymore, but I don't think he's going to go up at a rate of knots or anything like that, even if he does move back to halfback. I just think that it's a good time to cut bait. He's still got a bit of price on his head. So 522K, it's time for him to go. Some other players that are maybe not on their buy, but could go. Someone like a Christian Moraes. I think he can definitely go. It was a sub just gone as well. Any other subs that we saw on the weekend from players that
would
were...
You're obviously ditching an Ed Allen, who's also on his buy.
He's also on his buy. I think that he's a bit more of an obvious one. What are you doing with an Angus Sheldrick, Luke? Is he on your chopping block, say, if you didn't have all those rookies?
Yeah, look, probably. He probably is.
What's his break-even still?
He's done his purpose. His break-even's 26, yeah, so okay. Maybe so there's still
him
some
holding,
cash for him.
Holding him is not the end of the world.
Yeah, I'm in such a fortunate position that my trades are so obvious. Yeah, so if he hangs around for another week, then, like you say, it's not the worst thing in the world. But again, we'll just kind of see where the cash is at as well and what targets kind of open themselves up.
I think if you were a good team, trading an Angus Sheldrick would be absolutely fine. Yeah, like he was always kind of a 2 week play. You know, you might have higher priorities with some of those rooks, which are not going to make as much cash as he will once he comes back. And I do think he'll be back there another week. I don't think he's cost himself a spot in the side or anything like that. I think he's going to be fine. Famous last words, but he's probably lower on the ranking order, as is probably someone like a Ned Long. He played a good game today. Am I right in saying that?
Another ton, mate.
Top there, yeah.
Big Longy.
He's a big old premium these days. So 101 comes up against St Kilda, West Coast, Carlton, Gold Coast, Frio, Geez, that's a great run for Collingwood after the bye.
I think you would have to be in quite a luxurious position to be moving him before you would be the last of your rooks.
Yeah, I agree. It feels like these are the kind of players we would normally be trading out this time of year, but this year with the lack of cash generation, it seems to be so far away for so many of our teams. I mean, I could be wrong. Like, if you are in a much better position, again, this is the type of player that I could see someone moving on. Like, you trade him for a Doherty.
Oh, yeah.
That could be a really nice play, similar to what we sort of spoke about, and he's got the same sort of position sort of thing. I think that is okay. I just think there's a lot of teams out there that might be down the list of things to do, but I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out. What about some players that are maybe like future issues? They're not on the bye this week, but someone, I'm thinking like an Isaac Rankin, these players that are maybe issues for our sides in the future.
Yeah.
That maybe if we have the ability to get ahead of, is it time to sort of trade those guys out? Or is there so few scenarios where that's going to be the case for people? Like, would you rather get rid of Rankin or a Ned Long?
Ned Long is more expensive than Isaac Rankin.
Yeah.
And Caleb Daniel isn't much cheaper than Isaac Rankin. It's about 50K, which is horrific.
That's pretty scary.
That's horrific to think. And it's just been the slow burn for Isaac Rankin. I think other more astute coaches than me would have been all over it. But it was, probably last week that I looked and thought, fuck, Rankin hasn't been awesome recently.
Well, they came out with the quotes this past week saying, yeah, he's going to play more forward.
The trouble is the rest of my team's so fucking shit that he looks like... an absolute Dane Swan in fucking comparison to the rest of them. So
he's averaging 49% CBAs for the season, but he hasn't gone over 60% CBAs since round 8. And only once over 50% in that time as well. So
again, I think we're talking to the top 500 coaches that might be in a position where you could go early on ranking. There's just at least he gives the illusion of potential scoring.
Even as a forward, he could pull one out of the bag and have a big score. And I think during the bye period, when we're wanting every score possible, I think in most case scenarios, I think you just hold, you cop the loss in cash, which is inevitably going to come.
Next week could be a different story.
Next week.
When he's on his bye.
When he's on his bye. Yeah. I think you're holding at least for one more week in most cases. But if you had a really good side and didn't maybe have many people on their bye this week, then I wouldn't begrudge you if you wanted to trade him out. So that's the chopping block. Again, pretty straightforward heading into the trade targets. Same strategy as last week where we're bringing in players coming off their buys. We've only got two more teams to add to that list, but there's also a few players that from the round 12s that I think have also taken a step forward. We'll go through mostly the premiums, but then maybe we'll have a little bit of a touch on some downgrade options as well. But in the defense, the new toys to play with here are Jack Sinclair and the Wang.
You play with Wang.
Yep. little play with Wang, new toy.
Jack Sinclair's in my sights.
He's cheaper.
Is he... You've got to stick to the guys coming off their bye, don't you? But I mean, a lot of people already own Jack Sinclair. If you're in a position like me or like a few of the coaches out there where you've got to do something to differentiate yourself now to even get back into things, is there an argument to bypass Sinclair and go, with a Doherty, get a little bit spicy?
I mean,
there?
He doesn't quite have the defender status, but yeah, if you didn't
for like a cheaper
require
option.
A defender and you wanted a mid, then yes, absolutely, you could go to Doherty instead.
When will we get? Do we get another update of DPPs, or is that
before round 18? But I don't think it'll be very many. There won't be very many changes. I don't think.
Yeah,
maybe just a few rookies or people who joined late. Because you need to play a certain amount of games to be eligible.
So is it, I mean, just, more deeply on that question, is it time to maybe have a bit of a swing if you're in a position that you don't like it? Or is it just, do you just eke out a season? Do you know what I mean?
Definitely have a swing. Just be careful. And I've been caught into this trap as well. When through the buy rounds, you're flicking and moving DPP and people all over the place. Like, just remember where players are going to try and settle in after the bye rounds, because you might have some premium mids on your bench and defenders, and so you're trying to maximize how many players you have on field. And so you might be doing some DPP. Just be careful that you're not putting yourself in a position that come round 17, you're going to be stuck in a position where you can't get one of these good players back on your field.
Yeah.
You know, say injuries hit the week before and you're forced to trade and you plan to trade in someone with DPP. And yeah, it can get a little bit messy and confusing. So I always like to, at the end of every round, like just for a brief period, put everyone back onto my side that I expect to be there on field in round 17 and keep track of who's where and how many positions I still want to upgrade before round 17. So, but Doherty, I definitely is. I think he is a decent trade target because I have more confidence in his role now. What about Harry Sheezel? He was in the trade targets last week, but yeah, sort of not confidently. Where do you sit with him as a trade-in option for players who are needing around 12 or 13 defender? Would you go him over like a Wang, for example? They're priced very similarly. He's actually 11K cheaper than Wang.
It kind of it goes against what you would normally preach when we're hearing that there's role volatility with a guy.
So the wording is that he's going to settle into a mid-forward role for the rest of the season.
I saw that, and I saw that you tweeted that there was similar talk last year before he obviously went okay. But it's a lot to spend a trade on a guy that, look, if you're in a position where you don't own Harry Sheezer right now, then this is your opportunity to continue to not own him, hoping that the role volatility hurts the people that already do own him. Do you know what I mean? So is it in your best interest to trade in Wang or Sinclair in this case, because we know what their role is and hopefully they're more of like a known commodity, and then you can try and get on the antipod end of Sheezel?
Yeah. I think it's an interesting one because antipodding Sheezel could work out, but he's only really played three games this year as a halfback. Like, he's averaging, what is he averaging? 105. If I take out those three games, he's averaging 103 over nine games this season when he's gotten CBAs. And I'm including that game where he had seven CBAs. Like, it's not disaster. And if we go back, like, to look at the end of last season again, where he settled down into a midfield forward spot where he sort of stopped playing that half back role. If I include all of those games as well, where he's basically just getting any sort of CBAs, he averages 105 over that period. So the thing, he's not value, but I don't think we should be hesitating if I already have a Wang or if I already have Ordizai Wankney Millera in my side.
Prove it.
couldn't walk go past it. If I had a Sinclair in my side, if you don't have a Wang as well, you can also trade him. What's a Sinclair look like? Feel free.
You should get the doctor to check that Sinclair out for you.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think I don't think we need to have the hesitancy that I think a lot of people seem to have by trading him in, if that's what we're looking for. I think he's going to be about 105 to 110 moving forward.
If you didn't want to go in defense, we have a few more options now opening up off in the midfield as well. Of course, your Freo boys in Brayshaw and Sarong are now available. You are still a Sarong owner, am I right?
Yes, I am.
Would you endorse trading him in?
I think I would, if that's the best you can get to. He is priced very cheap.
What's he priced at?
He's only 100K more than Doherty.
Oh my God.
He's at 913,000. He's priced at like again, it's early after the thing, so I haven't actually got my price out figures, but I'd say he's probably priced at like 93, 94. For Caleb Sarong, he's coming off like his three game average is 105. And his opponent's coming up in this round, he's got North Melbourne.
Okay.
Essendon.
Good.
St Kilda. Sydney.
Could he cop a tag against St Kilda? Sydney? Could he get Jordan?
Yeah, maybe. Well, they could go to Brayshaw. I'm not sure. But at least for the next 2 to 3 rounds, I think it's an okay buy round play. He's probably going to be someone you luxury trade later in the year.
Sorry, I've got a booger hanging out of my nose.
That's lovely.
BRB.
But I still think he is someone that you're going to want to have. He's still a premium. I would still classify it as a premium. And at 913,000, if you're looking for a midfielder and maybe you weren't as sold on someone like Doherty, I think you could go worse than getting Caleb Sarong. For example, I would probably prefer to go Caleb Sarong at his price than I would paying over $100,000 more for Andrew Brayshaw at his price. I think they both present similar risks, whether or not Brayshaw has now moved into the primary tag role. We'll have to wait and see. But I think they're both fine. The number one, I think, trade target that I'm going to be looking at this week in the midfield is actually Zach Butters, because he's someone that I identified last week as a target. We obviously knew that he had the high break even. He played a game where he turned up despite getting a bit of attention against the Giants, 104. His break even is now, I mean, it's still a 120, but I think against Melbourne, he could very well hit that. Little risk that he does get the Langdon tag or... I don't know. That Melbourne seem to be up and down about their tagging options. So he's an option.
I'm trading in Zach Butters. I hate my team anyway, and I like Zach Butters.
That's sort of where I'm at too. Like he's averaging 97 on the season. He's priced below that. He's priced at like 95, 94. And I just see him as a 100-plus guy. So I think this is someone who's got value. We know why he's got value, because he was heavy tag against Geelong and then followed up with another tag against Frio. I think it's... I'm not overthinking this one.
No. I mean, Connor Rozee playing halfback, that's not a huge impact on Butters, is it?
Maybe it means that he's a more obvious tag target. Like Rozee's and it depends. Not...
I mean, some teams would like to tag a running halfback as well. So,
yeah.
And then obviously Horn Francis coming back in there as well, I think could be handy in that regard for Butters too. And I don't think he's going to take the kind of pill that Zach Butters gets. So
yeah,
he, you know, like I said, lockout's just lifted, but Zach Butters is in my sights.
Yeah. Yeah. For example, I know Sydney tagged Vlosten on the weekend. Mm. So they might look to go to a Rosie instead of a Butters.
Yeah.
Like I said, Melbourne are up and down with their tagging consistency anyway. So I like Butters this week. I think Bont, if you didn't trade him in last week because of the Hawthorn matchup, well, the matchups really open up for the Bulldogs right now. So I'm happy he's in my side now. And St Kilda, Richmond, Sydney, North, Adelaide, Brisbane, Essendon, all great matchups really there until the sort of round 21 GWS matchup. And even then, they might not look to tag him with someone like a Bedford who's just too small for him. So he to me is someone that, yes, if you didn't trade Bond in last week, I'd probably move him to number one.
Yeah.
In my eyes, he's number two because I've already got him, but I think he's still the number one guy. We sort of talked about Doherty earlier. What are your thoughts about... I talked briefly while you were going to blow your nose over there, but Andrew Brayshaw, where do you sit with him? What are your thoughts on him for the rest of the season?
I've been so conflicted with Brayshaw all year because I've owned him pretty much all year as well. I have owned him all year. And for the most part, when people ask, should I trade an Andrew Brayshaw, I say no. And the reason being that I've often cited is that Frio's mark numbers are right down, and even Brayshaw's, you know... mark numbers are right down as well. The mark numbers are down, but he's still going pretty well. Like,
yeah, 105. I mean,
he's averaging 105, and...
I think that's what he is.
Yeah, I don't... Because those mark numbers are down, I don't see the enormous ceiling that we sometimes can see from Brayshaw. But I will say he's got a pretty high floor as well. He's got a couple of 70 scores in there this year, but for the most part...
yeah.
I think he's going to keep those scores up. So
yeah, he bloody goes hard at it. I'll give him that much. And you won't ever not enjoy watching him play for that reason. So I said before, while you're away, I think I'd rather go Sarong at his price than Brayshaw at his price. There's a 100K difference.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's 10 points difference.
It's pretty significant.
But knowing that Brayshaw will, I think, average more. So I guess it depends on how tight cash is on your side. Let's go to the forwards. Matt Kennedy, number one target, still the number one target for forwards. He's expensive now, but we're kind of at the point now, if you need a forward, you just pay up for the best.
I think you do. You're not getting any value here at all. You're probably paying overs, to be honest. But
St Kilda, Richmond, Sydney, North, next four.
I don't even think the fact that Treloar is back in there seemed to even bother him on the weekend. No. He obviously had a very, very big first half, and Treloar is not going to play. I think it was like less than 70% time on ground. That's not going to be a thing forever, and I don't think Libba is going to be as poor as he was. But when we're talking forward line and we're owning guys like Isaac Rankin, I think I'd much rather have Matt Kennedy myself.
Yeah, 100%. And he's a guy, like, he doesn't need 60% CBAs. Like, I think the stats that were going around in the preseason we were throwing out there was like 40%. When he gets more than 40%, he's basically at least a 95 averaging player, and I think that is pretty safe to lock in. Caleb Daniel.
This is the trade target segment, mate, not the chopping block. You confused?
He went well on the weekend. 97. And he is below 800,000.
Last couple of weeks, he's gone all right.
Would you rather Caleb Daniel or Isaac Rankin in your side?
Oh, my God.
Again, the issue is that you're not actually making that much.
No.
You're making, what, 55K?
No, it's not. Because either could outscore either on any given week, you're not doing that trade this week, I don't think.
You're getting an extra game.
Let's park that trade until next week, then.
Yeah, on the buy.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
What, so when Rankins and Daniel are the same price?
No. I'm still not trading him to Caleb Daniel. You're not going to convince me of that.
Yeah.
But
I tend to agree.
Well, why would
But I feel vindicated for holding him through his buy.
Yeah, why would you do that this week when there's every chance that Rankin could outscore him?
I tend to agree, and I'm a little worried that like McKercher could like eat into his points a little bit more. Compared to like him just not being around and being more up the ground. So, and I want to say he was killing it early and really slowed down.
Yeah, he was doing well. I think he was.
Yeah, so second half, 35 points. So I don't like that.
No.
Don't like that.
But while he keeps popping 90 scores, he can hang around at the Oxlongs.
Yeah.
Next 60 I get, but you better believe you get the ass.
Yeah, so probably was a silly question, but I don't think we can endorse trading Caleb Daniel back into your side if you've already traded him out. If he's there, you can sit there. That's fine. But yeah, probably not someone I'd be really excited to get back in. What about some downgrades, Luke? I'll go through the break evens for some of the lowest ones in the game. So the lowest break even at the moment is Nick Madden.
What are they? Quaaludes, isn't it?
Quaaludes, yeah. Steve.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Very good movie.
Need to rewatch that. Negative 12 break even. Ruck only 276K.
Yeah.
He's going to be the main ruck, number one ruck for the next two games. I think if you have the potential to trade someone in and you don't mind a quick 2 week cash play, I think he probably is the number one trade in target.
He's now a little upgrade from Harry Boyd.
Fucking Harry Boyd.
That guy sucks.
What a pretender.
So, yeah, again, same as what I said last week, just be very aware of how it might hamstring you in terms of flexibility.
Well, let's not hope he does a hamstring, mate. Let's be positive here.
If you're trading him in at utility, just be very aware of what that means for
you. I think it is a definite two-week play, so it would depend on how many trades you're already forecasting yourself to do on round 16. And similar sort of story here for Zach Johnson, who put up a good score, so he's the next lowest break-even with a negative 11. So I think they're the two standout trades. And I know, like, the round 16, I think, helps. So you get two rounds. I prefer to be trading in someone coming off their bye. But those guys, I think, have set themselves apart. What about our boy Hugh here? Huey Jackson.
16-year-old. Justin Bieber lookalike.
Mate, he's 22. So he's come up against GWS, put up a 62, and he's off his bye. He's had his bye. Is he someone that we could look to trade in? Would you rather Hugh over Johnson, for example? You are saving 23. What's that, 25K?
Yeah, I think the position that you can get him in probably makes that decision for you as well. Defender versus...
No, he's a mid.
Yeah. And I think Johnson's a defender, isn't he?
No, he's a mid.
Oh, Johnson's a mid
too. He plays defense, but he's a mid.
Who am I thinking? Am I thinking of the...
You're thinking Clark.
The other young fella that debuted for Essendon. Is he a defender? Is that who I'm thinking of? Luol or something?
Oh, yeah. Was he? Yeah, he was a late... Yeah, he was defender. Yeah.
Okay, that must be who I'm thinking of. Okay, well, in that case then, I mean... Johnson's got 2 weeks now.
I mean, Luol's another one that we could definitely look at.
Varied scoring. I think I'll probably still take Johnson He's got a couple of weeks. And I think playing a slightly, I won't call it a fantasy-friendly role, but...
Yeah.
Opportunity in Essendon's back line to take some marks.
I think it would definitely depend on how many forecasted trades I wanted to make in the next 2 weeks, whether or not I could squeeze another one of those guys in. If I had the ability to, I think he's probably the more guaranteed cash generator and probably better job security. The fact that he held last week after having a poor game, getting subbed out, and then played again.
And also Essendon's stocks are decimated.
Yes.
Is always
helpful. Especially in that position, I think, as well. So, yeah, I'm probably going that way there. Selfishly, Luke, I want to ask you about a few forwards because there's not... The choices are pretty bare. Isaac Keeler coming off his bye. Break even of one, 326K. His last two games, 66-65. Now, before that, he's had a few games, 18-7, 37-47.
I don't like the job security. I think at any point, he could, even if they don't choose to bring in another ruckman, I think at any point he could go. And then your team will be Keeler overing and dying.
Nice, nice.
It didn't really work. It was pretty forced.
What actually. If he is there? What if he's like just there this week? Is it enough to just launch? Is he the best forward target? The other option I've looked at is Ted Closey, who's... He's played nine games this year. I think just two or three of them have not been in the vest.
Trade in a red dot ruck forward, mate, and just
make it work. These forward rookies are doing my head in.
You wouldn't have a go on Gallup after having a look?
Didn't he get subbed out on 30?
Yeah, he had a bit of a heavy hit to the chin, but I don't think the sub was related to that hit. I think he went off, was assessed, and then it was kind of like, oh, a tactical sub.
You were watching the game, and you said he looked okay.
In the first little patch, he looked like he was willing to get involved for a bigger forward.
He did chop out in the ruck.
Yeah, which is always nice.
But Big O was out, wasn't he?
This is the tough thing, and I said this before last week, was obviously you're a young... more key position style player playing at the reigning premiers, like that doesn't bode well for job security, I wouldn't have thought. So, but you are desperate, mate. You're looking at Keeler. You're looking at Keeler and Ted Closey.
Brisbane also lost as well. So, probably another reason for them to bring in an experienced player and last in, first out.
Let the week evolve, forward,
mate. I'm just bringing attention to everyone out there that the forward rookies are shithouse. Ramsden, who debuted for the season this week for Hawthorn. He scored a 50. What about 296 forward?
What if you go a bit more expensive and go with a Butler? Butler was all right for.
He was, and ideally, I would be going there.
Too expensive.
But then I can't afford Zachy Butters, mate. I could do that if I went Doherty. Now, well, that's a if you had to do that. What would you say to that for someone who...
Can I have a week to think about it? Can we talk about this on...
Yes. Well, it's a tricky position to be in. So I think if you weren't needing a forward downgrade, you've got some pretty obvious trades.
Yeah.
If you could go with a mid or use the utility spot and get in a Johnson, a Madden, you could maybe even look at...
it's always a good week when you can get Johnson in.
Big Jackson in.
No, not Jackson, Johnson.
Lowell, I don't know too much about his job security. I didn't watch that game, unfortunately. Did you watch any of that game?
I did not.
No. So I think he, was he laid in? I don't remember seeing anything about him in the team sheets. Anyway, I'll have to go back and double check what actually happened with him.
What's the Lowell I'm thinking of?
Lowell Dang.
Lowell Dang.
Dang.
That's a throwback.
Yeah. He's a... Play for England? Is he English guy?
No idea.
I feel like he played for England in the Olympics. Anyway, off track. I think if you don't need to get those forward rookies, you're looking at some pretty nice trades and hopefully you can get a really nice upgrade on the back of them with a few of those Sydney rooks. Two down, one up. But if not, leave it with us and we'll see if we can find some forward rookies. Also, maybe the West Coast guy is coming back in. He's not a forward; he's a defender mid. But people were touting it to play this week. What's his name? McCarthy.
Oh, fingers crossed. This has just turned into an absolute chit chat from us, mate. Let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Cut it off. Hook me off stage. All right. Make sure you guys give us a big old thumbs up on the video. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you want more of us rambling on and talking absolute shite, join us over at patreon.com/ballboys and get access to our exclusive Q&A podcast, The Big Boys, The Trade Targets, Rojo's Round Review, and the lovely chats, all the good people in the Patreon family. Until next time, guys, we'll see you on Friday. Bye.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.